Get ready for a journey into the heart of Bridgeport politics with In Absentia, a new podcast from Connecticut Public's investigative team, The Accountability Project. Learn about the city's past and present political dysfunction and the systems that enable it. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.
Funding provided by Francisco L. Borges and the Melville Charitable Trust.
Faith here with your podcast, Welcome Toast. When you eat with someone else, calories won't count if you don't eat more than they do. Listen to our show in small bites or enjoy the whole thing.
I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
It's great to have you joining the party on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, inviting you to eat, drink, and be merry with us. We have coming up one of those special summer food quizzes, an idea for what to serve for salad that I think is going to surprise you. Jar stuff. What to do with those ball jars that would make serving meals really, really fun. And I mean beyond serving a cocktail or iced tea in one of those jars. We've got some ideas. We also have some breaking news, how to make a boiled egg peel easier. We've invented a cocktail, the Food Schmooze Shrimp Cocktail Bloody Mary. So that is coming your way. We think we've discovered the best baba ganoush on the East Coast and two wines, a rosé and a white from the French Alps. The rosé is from France. My treasured food buddies are here, senior contributors Chris Prosperi, Alex Province, and Mark Raymond. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Faith.
And Robin Doyen Aiken, our senior producer, who joins us on the show. Oh, we've got a quiz for you.
Uh-oh.
There is.
I love
these. Yeah, this is a quiz. Really, they were giving facts in Food Network magazine, so I'm turning this into a quiz.
See, I always get nervous when these come.
No.
It's like, I didn't study last night. I was up
sweating.
Too late.
Well, this has to do with the beach.
I would have cramped.
This is beach stuff. Here we go. So you're on a boardwalk in the summer somewhere. Some people might go to New London. Other people might go to the East End of Long Island, New York. There's a million of them. So you're on the boardwalk. Which one is the most popular snack? Ice cream, French fries, corn dog, soft pretzel, taffy, fudge, or popcorn?
Ice cream.
Yeah, ice cream. Yep.
Taffy.
Popcorn.
So the answer is, the ice cream people came in second.
Oh,
but the,
I go
the answer is the corn dog.
See, I'm never.
Oh,
right.
My favorite.
Isn't that interesting? Yes,
I do
your,
like a
your
good,
southern
I
roots,
love
right?
It.
Your Texas roots.
Okay.
Which corn dog is a meal. It's not a snack.
Yeah, that's not a snack.
It's a snack.
Three of them's a meal.
It's a snack to some
right.
of us.
Yeah.
All right. So of people out and about in the summer, which one is the most popular? This might surprise you. Ice cream or Italian ice?
Italian ice.
It's ice cream.
Oh, jeez.
I just did a little trick.
Yeah,
there.
No, I like Italian ice, but come on, in the summer, I pass a place on a farm that sells ice cream, and it's in the middle of Simsbury and the back roads, and it could be 9 o'clock at night, and there could be 75 people lined up to get ice cream.
Downtown Middletown.
Wherever you are.
Vecchio's.
Yeah.
Wherever, come on. It's ice
yum.
Cream.
Oh, boy.
It's ice cream.
Okay, here's this is one that might get you. The best shape for French fries. Is it the straight, the curly, the waffle, or the crinkle cut?
Waffle.
I'm just going to say straight, classic.
Crinkle.
Straight.
Straight wins,
wow.
40%, yeah,
mm-hmm.
against anything else. Okay, let's do just one more. If you go to fairs in the summer, you go to carnivals, on the boardwalk, what is your favorite top deep-fried treat? Is it the Twinkie, candy bar, banana, Oreos, or some other thing we can't even, we haven't even thought of yet? What would you say it is?
Donut.
I love a fried Oreo.
Yeah, I'm going with Oreo.
Hands down, fried
so
Oreo.
Great.
Oh, you got it.
Fried
yeah.
Oreo.
Yeah.
Fried Oreo.
Okay, that was really
the pickle
fun.
Is second for me, but I like
yeah.
the
I consider the quiz a surprise. Now we're going to the second surprise, everybody.
Yeah, what's in the box? Uh-oh. He's been carrying around this all morning.
What do you got going on?
I what is that?
I only have a theory about what's in this box.
Really?
A theory.
And this envelope,
it
I have not
envelope?
Ordered. I thought, you know what? I'm going to open this like we do for the first time.
What is it?
It's
right
like the Oscars.
Yeah,
food.
It came a box that came with an envelope.
So two
helicopter.
That was the drum roll.
So who did it come from?
So it came from a woman who's an artist, and at the New Haven Arts Council, she has pieces up. And she mentioned something to me, and I said, oh, wow. She's Indian. Her name is Rashmi, and it says, To Faith from Rashmi.
Okay.
So this is a box. There's something in here that rattles, but the envelope that comes with it, and her name, the artist's name, is Rashmi Talpade. Here we go. Okay. I open it up, and it's,
A little note. Oh, look, some photos.
With a picture.
Okay. There's photos.
Pictures. Here
we go.
Can't
see them. What are they?
Dear Faith, I have enclosed the garlic crab recipe, which has been in my husband's family for generations.
Oh my gosh.
His family is from Mumbai, which before it became the megacity and financial capital of India was a coastal village. They belong to the Petare Prabhu community, and these were natives of Bombay. Seafood was the primary staple of the people then, and they created some of the best curries that I have had. One of them is the garlic crab recipe, which is the favorite of my daughter, who is a consummate food lover. And unfortunately, this is not something that you find in restaurants in the U.S., but also never in restaurants in India.
Wow.
So do I dare to?
So what's in
and
the
there's
jar?
These are pictures. We are going to post this on Food Schmooze, but I think we should make this because if you can't even get this in
I'm
India.
I'm the chef here.
Chris,
give me the recipe.
Let's look inside
the
box.
What's in
the
jar?
Oh, my goodness. The ingredients.
Oh, it's all the dried ingredients. So what's that?
Oh, my God.
I just opened this.
Curry.
Okay, so all of these
are look, it's the sauce. It's the spices that go in.
Oh, I can't wait to taste this.
Impossible to get. This is a special curry spice, which I'm sure is made from these three ingredients.
Yeah. Can we open them up and smell?
Yes, I'm going to pass this over to you, Alex. I took the lid off, and the aroma is astonishing. So the ingredients, hard shell crabs, Alaskan king crab legs may be used, but they're not ideal. Cloves of garlic, asafoetida, turmeric, chili powder, homemade curry powder.
The curry powder she gives us, homemade. The curry powder's amazing.
Vegetable or canola oil. And then she tells us how to make this family recipe.
Oh my gosh.
Rashmi Talpade, the artist in New Haven. You're the only person in the world who makes bacon sound classy. Okay.
this beautiful. Is a gift.
And then there's a recipe, curry. Mm. Prawns, garlic paste, king powder, haldi powder, mirchi, prabhu sambar, masala. Okay, I don't know how to get those things, but I'm going to get them somehow. Okay.
What kind of crab? What is this spice?
It's like,
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
So this is not even available in restaurants in India. Chris, we're going to do this, right?
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm taking these. They're in my pocket already.
Okay. Okay. And I'm leaving this recipe.
Give me the recipe. I'll get crabs.
Oh,
and I'm in.
Thank you, Rashmi. You are our new favorite listener.
The smell in here now.
Isn't that unbelievable?
What kind of crabs do we need?
Hard shell crabs.
Yeah, we can do that.
Maybe I'll get some blue crabs.
Yes. Let's go fishing.
Let's go fishing.
Let's go fishing. No.
Wow.
All right.
That's incredible.
Isn't that amazing?
Can I? I'm so excited about this. I can't even believe it. Okay, so can we do some idea brainstorming here? I was thinking about how to use those ball jars to do interesting things. We certainly saw that trend where everybody was serving iced tea in the ball jar, and it became kind of a cool thing. So that's an obvious. But what else could we make in those ball jars? I'm going to surprise you with something at the end, but what could we make in those ball jars that would be fun to make? There are restaurants in various places that I've seen that do these layered salads in the ball jar. They'll first put in a layer of chickpeas. Then they'll put in a layer of chopped lettuce, iceberg. Mm-hmm. Then they'll layer bacon. Mm-hmm. Then tomatoes, olives, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you put your dressing through the whole thing
and you shake it all up. And then that's a great lunch.
So there's one. Does anybody have an idea?
Can you bake in it? Like bake a little cake or a brownie?
Yeah.
How about a little like fruit pie? Like apple, blueberry, raspberry?
Could you bake in it?
Oh, yeah.
Confit you can do in it. And that's something that I've seen. There was a restaurant in Greenwich that only did this. It was years ago, and I wonder if it's still there.
It was Gaia.
Gaia.
Yes.
Yes, and they did everything in a ball jar. It was either confit or flan or whatever. They baked
and
served,
they served it
in the ball
jars.
Do you remember that place?
Yes, I do.
Right?
I do.
Is it still there?
No.
No, it's not there. No. But so, yeah, they did so many cool things in ball jars. You can't
a good one, I can tell.
You can't put them in high heat, but you can put them in water baths, right? Like
water baths.
And at low temperature, like confit.
So you
can
bake in the oven with
it? Yes, but at lower temperatures, not roast, right? You can't put them in at like 500.
But you could do a water bath and poach.
Totally.
Yes,
poach
absolutely.
The cakes that you want to make.
Yes, and that's
the
how you make flan. Yeah.
Right.
That's a good idea, I think. Obviously, use the lidded jar to make salad dressing. And I say add the juice of a chicken you're roasting. And, or the juice from a steak that you're roasting, and pour that juice off, keep it in a little jar, add it to your salad dressing in this ball jar. Shake, shake, shake. And I'm telling you that chicken or beef stock, if you're not a vegetarian, gives a kind of backbone to the dressing that is unlike anything you've ever had.
I did something really similar. I did a barbecue chicken salad, and I just took some chicken. I marinated it in a little whiskey, some molasses, and a little hot sauce, and I grilled it till it was done. And then while I was making my salad stuff, I was chopping up vegetables and stuff, and I put some blue cheese in there. And the chicken sat in a little pan while it was cooling a little bit so I could cut it. And at the bottom of this had all this juice. So I took the chicken out, I cut it, I put a little dressing, lime juice, and a little olive oil on this salad with everything mixed together. And then I noticed that pan of juice was sitting there. I tasted the salad before, just as I had it, and it was good. But boy, I put that chicken juice in there. Just and this was just the runoff. And man, did that take
and
that
you
salad
beef
to a
as well.
Oh, yeah, anything
beef
when
juice.
You rest
oh, yeah.
when you rest your meats
beef
after you cook them.
The best.
Yeah, they sort of
turkey.
Right? Oh my god, turkey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you could use
Heaven.
Bacon fat, duck fat. Yeah. That also gives it this incredible flavor. Okay, I would love to try two things. One I did try, and the other one, I just have it in my head, to do brownie a la mode in the bottom of the ball jar. So brownies pre-cooked. There might be a layer of brownie sliced maybe in half horizontally. Then there would be ice cream and then more brownie. And then there might be more
peanuts.
Ice cream and then the nuts of your choice. If you eat nuts, there'd be chocolate sauce. There'd be whipped cream.
How about a little peanut butter in there?
You could put berries if you want.
Nutella.
Oh, peanut butter. Caramel
Nutella.
Sauce.
A little fluffernutter.
Dulce de leche. So anything you want. You could stack that up any way you want.
Yeah.
And then big spoons. What a fun dessert when people come over. Yeah.
I think the kids would love it too, right? You could have them preloaded in the freezer. As they melt, they get gooier.
Chris, you and I are still trying to bring back pudding.
Yes.
And you can put pudding in between the brownies.
Pudding, chocolate pudding.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about the fancy French stuff. I'm talking about the bolo jello.
Yeah, jello pudding.
Either the, right, we were talking about this, the box. My mom used to only go with the one you made on the stovetop, and every once in a while when she wasn't looking in the supermarket, we'd pull that out and put the instant, because the instant, I don't know, it just as a kid tasted better. So yes, we're bringing that back.
It's still the cheap little box with a little paper envelope in the middle.
Yeah,
it always had a skin on top when you put it in the refrigerator to cool.
Grab it by the center.
Yeah.
Pinch it out.
All right, there's Alex and I's childhood in a nutshell there, right there. Bump.
So here, the reason I brought up the ball jars and was thinking about things to do in jars, it's because I saw in a column in the New York Times food section mention of someone from Connecticut who has created a device called the Neg Maker. NEGGMAKER.com. You can go to NEGMAKER.com. It's like a small plastic jar. You put your egg in it with a little bit of water. You shake the jar very, very hard. This is a cooked egg.
Okay. Oh, a cooked egg.
So, you know, it can be just a pain to peel eggs to make deviled eggs.
Yeah.
Or even in the morning, it can just be a pain. So I have lots of hard-boiled eggs. That's the part I can't stand. So I was interested in this device. And you put a little bit of water in there, and then you shake, shake, shake. You can see if you stop for a minute and look, the peel is starting to just peel itself away. You take it out, the rest just peels off in a snap. So she's made that device. However, Florence said at the end of the comment, I don't see why you can't just use a jelly jar with some water almost as effectively. And I felt badly for the woman, you know, because I thought, well, she's got the proportions worked out and But anyway, so I didn't have one of her devices, so I went and got a ball jar, and I did it. I put a quarter cup of water in the bottom of the jar, shook, and I'll be darned.
Perfect.
Now, the mistake I could have made was too little, too much water. Mm-hmm. The jar's too big. It could have been a bunch of different things. And if you go to her site, eggmaker.com, she has all kinds of tips. She's very, very generous, and you can order her device. But it worked like a charm,
awesome.
And that will be my way to go. In the mornings, if
yeah.
I'm having
hard-boiled eggs.
Hard-boiled eggs, yeah.
Or I'm thinking about making deviled eggs. That's yeah. the way to go. It's a lot easier.
Who doesn't love deviled eggs?
Oh, my gosh.
But that's the hardest part in my mind.
The
How
peeling.
Many do you eat
sometimes,
at a party,
Sometimes
though?
It's like,
oh, several.
And the fresher the egg, yeah, the more difficult yeah. to
How many
peel
are there?
I just feel like I want to eat
get,
more than
devil How many can I get away with without being
exactly.
noticed?
Exactly.
Faith still has the best deviled egg on the planet. And that's
really?
The deep fried ones you had at that party.
Oh, listen.
Huh?
Listen,
I still dream
what?
About those.
But that's not my recipe.
No,
because
no.
I've got to give credit to Jim Villas, who lives in East Hampton. On the east end of Long Island, and he had these fried deviled eggs in his cookbook.
Ooh.
So they're really pretty
I've
awesome.
I've tried them, and they're evil. We were eating them as fast as we were making them to send out as a pastor hors d'oeuvre.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, my God. They were evil.
Okay, here's what we've got. We've got a food schmooze shrimp cocktail Bloody Mary, and you need a spoon for this cocktail, but it's really, really fun. You've got to serve this at your next party. We've got two wines to tell you about. And then the author of the cookbook, At a Pinch, Easier, Faster, and Fresher Southern Classics. Robin Stone will be our guest, and Ree Drummond has done the foreword to her book. So you know it's gotten the stamp of approval for Southern cooking, but lightened up and fresher than it might be traditionally. Okay, more mouthwatering conversation and fun ahead on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. I hope you will make a charitable contribution to feed the hungry. We are online now at foodschmooze.org, and we'll be right back.
Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready. I'll be ready tomorrow night. That's what Beans said to Cornbread.
Hey, would you like a copy of the show, the podcast it's called, sent to you in your inbox every week, so you can either listen as the show is airing, or if you miss something and you want to replay it, go to your podcast. We send it to you. Just sign up once at foodschmooze.org. Pleasure coming to your inbox. I'm with my treasured food buddies, Chris Prosperi, chef and co-owner of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, wine broker Alex Province of Hartford, Mark Raymond, wine broker of Wethersfield, and our senior producer is Robin Doyon Aiken, who also joins us on the show. Before we get to the wines, we want to tell you about something that we created together on the show. Mm-hmm. And it is the easy way to do this, but it is a shrimp cocktail Bloody Mary.
Oh, wow.
And you will see this online right now at foodschmooze.org. You'll see the pictures. We're going to tell you about how we made this. But I am holding in my hand right now a martini glass. You could use a different kind of glass if you want. This is a cocktail that's served with a spoon when your guests come. You make up your sauce with the Bloody Mary mixture with the vodka in it. We used the vodka made in Connecticut from Waypoint Spirits, which is their Labrador Noon spicy vodka, nice. Which
That's
already
so good too.
Has the horseradishy type spices.
Oh, and, you need yeah. no more spice Very when you yes. use that.
Is it 13 or what's
or,
X111?
Yeah, it's 13. I don't know what that means, actually.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I never.
So we try to cut another mix too. And this is Manny's Ultimate Bloody Mary that Alex Provence found in Greenwich, Connecticut at Citarella. And this was delicious. So we mixed two things together. Manny's, by the way, is a local person.
Yeah, from Greenwich.
Who, and there are anchovies in here and all kinds
paste.
Of raisins
yeah.
and wow. all kinds of
it
stuff.
It is so
it's
good.
It's gluten-free.
It really is delicious.
And it's in one of those jars.
A mason jar. Speaking of the devil.
Okay, so here's how this goes. You chill a pitcher of your favorite Bloody Mary concoction. Whatever you want to do. Some people like to do it with horseradish, some without. Some want it spicy, some don't. You can make it from scratch yourself, or you can buy it already pre-mixed. We've just mentioned one or two to you. So store-bought or homemade, plus your vodka, and you pour that mixture into a pretty glass, say a martini glass, because it's so festive, and it's just the right amount. We poached some shrimp, right, Mark?
Yep. We poached some jumbo shrimp, and then we chopped it up into small bite-sized pieces.
No shells.
No shells. No tails. Completely shelled and deveined, of course. And then we put it those chopped-up pieces into the glass first, chilled, and then you pour your drink
your
right
chilled
over the
Bloody Mary mix and
right
vodka.
Right over the top of it.
Right over the top. And then I call for sprinkling bacon on the top. You can do what we all agreed to do. You'll see this in the picture at foodschmooze.org.
Oh, yeah.
We had a big strip of bacon sticking out.
Plus, a big strip of bacon.
Plus, we had a wedge of lime on the side. So it's a pretty gorgeous thing with a spoon. We have a plastic spoon in it. It's a pretty gorgeous thing to hand people.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to give this
and
a try right now.
The rest of it with my spoon.
Yeah.
After I had all the shrimp eaten, I was like,
not.
I could drink this out of the glass now, but I kept going with the spoon like it was soup.
I feel like you could rim the glass with a little Old Bay. Yeah.
So what do we call that? Do we call that an do we call that an appa cocktail?
Yes.
Because it's an appetizer and a cocktail.
Totally.
I love
cocktail.
That, Mark.
Yeah. Or brunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Sunday
it's
brunch.
It's perfect. It's a perfect starter. If I walked into somebody's house and they gave me that, I'd be in love.
So we saw that online that there were, this flew into my head and I thought, is someone already doing this? And we did see some sort of shrimp kind of Bloody Mary things, but they're not really what this is. This is a wholly different object. This is real chunks of shrimp.
Oh, yeah.
And you just eat this with the spoon, and then if you have sprinkled bacon on top, if you don't have vegetarians in your crowd. But if you have vegetarians, the thing is you could just leave off that whole strip of bacon that's garnishing.
It makes it yummy, but it doesn't need it.
Yeah.
So the recipe, how to do it, and photographs on our website, foodschmooze.org.
One of the things I thought was really easy about this is we found a really good Bloody Mary mix recipe with the vodka we picked. So we really only needed to mix two ingredients to keep it really super simple. And it was one part vodka, four parts Bloody Mary mix. Yeah. It had just the right amount of spice in it. If you like it spicier, obviously you can tweak it up a little bit.
So it's just perfect.
And if you like it less spicy.
Spicy, you can lessen up the vodka.
You wouldn't use the spicy vodka.
Right.
You
or
would
just
use
a
regular.
Yeah.
And this makes a great mocktail.
Yeah.
For people who don't drink and for kids.
Yeah.
You know, so you could do a pitcher of just plain, and you could do a pitcher with in the refrigerator to chill. Okay.
On Sundays, if I'm having a second, I always have one without vodka.
No.
Right? The first one on Sundays when I go out to eat, I have a Bloody Mary. And if I love it so much and I want to keep going, I just order another one without the vodka.
There's so much
and
flavor.
It's so
you
refreshing.
Wouldn't even miss the vodka.
No, I don't
even
miss it.
Well
still
played.
It's still a refreshing mocktail, cocktail, whatever. With or without the vodka, it's still really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we have, as we mentioned, the author, Robin Stone, of At a Pinch. And this is updated, easier, faster, fresher Southern classics. And we have a lemon meringue pie coming your way. We have straight from the South, by the way. We're going to tell you about how to do a cream corn that is really pretty darn good, and what Chris made for us, the citrus shrimp. It couldn't be easier from this book. All those coming your way in just a bit. Okay, right now I'd like to talk about a couple of wines, and one a white and one a rosé. Let's start with the white. This is, and I have pictures doing a tasting in Mystic. I want to say thank you to New London wine lover Joanne Church, because she took me to one of her favorite shops in downtown Mystic. It's called Universal Package Store. And also thank you to the owner, because we said to him, what would you recommend? What wine do you absolutely love? And he said, here it is. This is one of the most unusual and delicious wines I've had in a long time. It's from the Savoie region of France at the foot of the Alps. So it's a bit chilly there as well as warm. And this wine is called, the label picture is on our site, of course, 2015 Apremont. And it is from the winemaker Romain Chamillot. And he very carefully harvests these grapes of this white wine. He adds almost nothing, and then he allows these grapes to really concentrate. So this is a man who has such honor about his product. He doesn't want to stretch out the wine the way other winemakers sometimes in that region will do. He will sell less because he wants to be proud of the wine. So you can taste it right away. And this is from one of our favorite distributors, Rosenthal. So you know it's going to be something to pay attention to. So I was writing down notes of how I thought it tasted. I'm asking the people I was tasting with, what do you taste? What do you think? And I came upon a reviewer, Cody Foster. He wrote the best description of this wine. I have to read this short thing to you. He said, this wine, this white wine, represents sprightly alpine terroir. On the palate, it's discernibly dry with soft acids that deliver a mouth-wateringly limey mineral cut. Fresh cream, wildflowers, and running water. This is delicious wine. Quite simply, it tastes of the French Alps. That
great
is
description.
So true.
Makes me want to drink it right now.
An incredible white wine, about $17 or $18 a bottle. So thank you to the owner of Universal Package Store in downtown Mystic for finding this one and giving it to me and my friends to taste. They have great wine in this store, by the way. This man I discovered when I walked through the store handwrites little labels that say featured on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze.
Oh,
he handwrites them.
Nice.
Yeah, it's so nice of him.
They have the same package store in Noank right next to Ford. So when people go to do your BYOB, it's the cutest little store.
Oh, that's great. Nice. Okay. Nice. So you're going to find pictures of the label and us tasting it at our website, foodschmooze.org. As always, we tell you to call ahead to your wine store if you'd like them to get a bottle for you. They can't carry everything. So it's best to call ahead so it's not a wasted trip. And be sure to tell them, as we say at our site, that the distributor is Rosenthal, and he has the best taste. So just remember, all you need right now is foodschmooze.org. Schmooze, spelled S-C-H like school, M-O-O like the cow, Z-E, foodschmooze.org. Here's another one. This is a rosé that Alex Province found for us. And I don't think I've ever had a rosé like this. Whoa, this is so intense.
Wow, right?
Wow.
I loved it.
I loved it too.
So most rosés come from the south. Many rosés come from the south of France, like Provence and the south of Rhone, and they're oftentimes made with Grenache, and it's that beautiful sort of soft rose color. This comes from the Loire, so further north, and it is so intense. It's like neon rosé, and it's made from the country cousin of Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, which is like a more rustic, sort of aromatic grape.
So that's why the normal rosé of this is quite deep in colors, right? Because the Cabernet Franc, and they're doing a lot of skin contact.
It's 4 hours of skin contact, but it's actually done like the Saunier method. So they bleed off the tank. And in fact, what's left in the tank may go in to make a red wine. And this is sort of almost like a byproduct, but it's so intense. And we just got it in this week, and I opened a bottle. That's the thing with rosé. You never know what you're going to get, so each vintage is going to be different. This is the 2016.
And the winemaker is a René Couilly?
Yeah, it's Couilly Dutaille is the way that people should look it up. Couilly Dutaille.
Well, this is on her website.
Yeah, again, like all French labels, they're not easy and they're hard to pronounce and say. But Couilly Dutaille is the name, and it comes from the Loire, and the grape is Cabernet Franc.
So how do we describe this flavor? Because this is, when we say intense, what I mean is berries to the max.
Raspberries.
Not sweet.
Strawberries.
But, wow.
Candy. Yeah. You look at it and it just, it glows in the dark almost. Yeah. So rosés, we always say, are fun. They're mostly all good. They're light and they're served cold. If you're like a rosé that's intense and full-bodied, and like Chris was saying, you could eat with lots of different foods. Yeah. In fact, you could eat it with chicken and ham and even beef if
steak,
you wanted to.
Absolutely.
Steak,
grilled steak, chicken, burger.
Oh, yeah.
So this is about, how much a bottle?
$18.
Okay. So this is a little pricier than other rosés.
Not the cheapest ones.
Nope. But it is very elegant. And because of the reference to berries in this, you know, where we all went, wow, I would think that the ideal pairing for this, can you imagine, if, you know, 4th of July we have coming up,
outside.
If you did a strawberry shortcake
paired
with
like,
ice cold this.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It'd be fantastic.
Would that
so
be
great.
Stunning?
Yeah.
Absolutely stunning.
So
or
could,
no shortcake just on top of ice cream. Or
you could take this all the way through to dessert.
Yeah,
and
you could.
That's
yeah.
special.
I would make a strawberry sangria out of this.
Yeah.
Wow. Would you?
Right?
Yeah.
I would just do what you're saying. I'd chop up strawberries, add it maybe like a touch of effervescence.
Brandy? Would you put brandy in?
Brandy would be good. I might even do a splash of cream. Just to sort of almost give it like a sorbet flavor.
Wow.
Really?
Okay. So you
never tried
with
that.
This.
So if anyone does it,
yeah.
Okay. So
let us know.
So the distributor is on our website. It's Winebow. And you'll see it. You'll find it. It is the Cuilly du Thai, and it's called Chinon. And the year is 2016. The maker is René Cuilly, and it's one of the most intense rosés we've ever had. It's a beautiful bottle, very lovely label, so French. And the Cab Franc is the rough house grape in here, you know, grape from this region, country grape. So
tough,
beautiful.
And big and strong. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that was exciting. These two wines at our website, foodschmooze.org. So who's been to this new spot at the Oyster Club in Mystic, in downtown Mystic? We were just talking about Mystic a minute ago.
The Treehouse?
I know
I
you
love
have.
It.
The Treehouse.
Be there Saturday night.
So
nice.
Upstairs, they have built a treehouse deck. And sitting there, you can look out with a view of the harbor and the boats in Mystic.
Nice.
And it's
see
all
us going
open,
by waving.
It's all open air. You know, it's just wonderful up there.
Yeah.
Not a gigantic space, but enough for a good crowd of people.
They
and
have their
lights,
own kitchen. Yeah.
Kitchen up there. Okay, so that's at the Oyster Club. And one more bit of news about them. They said that they are opening a butcher shop in downtown Mystic.
That's
and it's going to
cool.
be also a small seat restaurant, very small seats. And they're going to have, they're bringing in a true, authentic French rotisserie, and they're going to grill big stuff.
Like with the potatoes on the bottom, I hope.
Game on the rotisserie. Okay, so that's coming.
Danny Meiser has that farm in Stonington, Stone Acre, and I think he's growing and getting a lot of the stuff from that farm.
Yeah, something big's coming with that farm. We're going to talk about that later. They're going to come on the show. And they're going to bring stuff.
All right.
We like stuff.
And we're going to talk about that farm.
I love it.
All right. Coming up, we have Robin Stone, a blogger and author of At a Pinch, Easier, Faster, Fresher Southern Classics. We love the local. Please support your local food growers and food makers for on-demand podcast delivery of the Food Schmooze Party every week, meaning a copy of the show, free. And to find all of our terrific food, wine, cocktail, restaurant, hot topics, our short fun streaming videos, and the recipes we feature, of course, we're online to get everything. Foodschmooze.org, and we'll be right back.
Strawberries, cherries, and angels kissing spray. Summer wine is really made from all these things. Take off your silver spell and help me pass it down. And I will give to you summer wine. Oh, summer wine.
It don't matter where.
This is the Food Schmooze Party, offering the richness of life and coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including Westchester County, the East End of Long Island, the Hamptons, of course. The senior producer is Robin Doyon Aiken. And to hear this show on WNPR, it airs Thursdays at 3 and Saturdays at noon. Podcasts, meaning copies of the show and our curated recommendations, are always online, as in right now, at foodschmooze.org. Okay, I wanted to say one thing before we get to our cookbook author. We were mentioning, I forgot to say what I had at Oyster Club in Mystic. I had a skate in a bowl with a beurre blanc sauce. Ooh. And a kind of candied polenta.
Ooh.
That was kale and candied somehow, and it was really, really delicious.
Oh,
I know, Mark, you had a soft shell crab sandwich on a brioche bun there that knocked you out.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's almost out of season right now. Also, we wanted to say a shout out to another couple of people, and that would be restaurants in downtown Mystic, Red 36 and Bravo Bravo.
Yeah.
They're also doing a great job, great views, and so we love all you folks. There's so many good purveyors in the New London, Mystic, Noank.
And this is the time to go there.
Stonington.
Right? Yeah. This is the beginning of the summer.
Places with a view. Can I just do one more? I think I have discovered in New London maybe the best baba ganoush on the East Coast. So maybe I should say, because I haven't tried them all on the East Coast, I should say this has got to be one of the top award winners, because I love baba ganoush and I've had it a million places. And
I'm curious.
Oh my goodness. So it's a smoky eggplant dip. Usually it's put over an open flame to give it that smoke, is what you do with the eggplant.
Yum. Mm.
And then you scrape the inside out after it bakes in the oven. It's gotten smoked first, then you scrape the inside out and you mix it with all kinds of things. And it's absolutely delicious. So two New Londoners, Joanne Church and Jean Milstein, tipped us off to this Saeed International Market on Ocean Avenue in New London. It's a simple place, but top-notch destination for Middle Eastern foods. Hummus, za'atar, pizzettes, za'atar, this incredible spice mixture, stuffed grape leaves, and this famed baba ganoush, as far as I'm concerned. You can wander the aisles for all kinds of Mediterranean things. Saeed's International Market in New London, Connecticut, they're doing some stuff in there. That baba ganoush is unbelievable. Okay, here comes something I've been really looking forward to because of the recipes. The book is called At a Pinch, Easier, Faster, Fresher Southern Classics. The author is blogger Robin Stone. Ree Drummond, one of the greats in Southern cooking, has done a foreword to the book, so you know that you wouldn't get that endorsement easily, and we can see why. So, Robin, welcome to the Food Schmooze Party.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Where are we calling you right now?
I'm in Georgia. I'm outside of Atlanta, about an hour west of downtown Atlanta.
And what's your town?
It's Carrollton, Georgia.
Okay.
I was born and raised in this area, so
it's
home for me.
I know. I wanted to start that way because so much of what you learn and so much of what is in this book comes from your roots there. And what would you say you have done to the tradition of these recipes that you had growing up?
Well, growing up, I remember my mother and my grandmother spending so much time in the kitchen. It was always the happy, warm place of the house. It's where everybody gathered. But I do remember them spending an inordinate amount of time preparing for supper. And when I was first married, I was trying to recreate those same meals, but I didn't think I had as much time to do it. So as I was going through a lot of my grandmother's and my mother's recipes and trying to make them for my own family, I tried to find ways that I could simplify them while not losing that flavor or the feel of those traditional Southern meals I had grown up with.
Well, can we start with one? Because Chris made your citrus shrimp recipe for us. And we chose this because we said this is so easy and one little step is so fantastic for the flavor that we just enjoyed. It's your citrus shrimp. Chris, tell how this came together.
I'm going to do my shrimp from now on like this. It's just the easiest thing, but it adds such amazing flavor. You whisk together a little olive oil, orange juice, lemon juice.
Fresh,
yeah. And some garlic, some chopped onion, a little bit of parsley, and you whisk that together. You put it in a pot, bring it up to a simmer, reduce it by half. So, you know, you just keep an eye on it. Then you put your shrimp that are peeled and deveined, about 3 pounds of them, in there. Put the lid on, you just cook it. So basically, you're making
like
shrimp
cocktail. 5 minutes.
This is like what we do all the time when we cook shrimp, except we usually use water or some kind of broth or whatever, but this gives it such a zest. You pull it off, you top it off with the rest of the remaining parsley, and then you serve it with orange and lemon wedges, or, and it was the best thing, we put it on a salad. And oh my gosh, these had flavor.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm so glad you enjoyed it.
And I know that you grew up, at least for part of the summer, going to the beach.
Yes.
And you'd pack up the car, and your dad would cook Gulf shrimp. Did he do it the citrus way, or is this your idea?
Well, he did a variation of this, but I just wanted to kick up that citrus just a little bit. But his usually was mainly oranges. I just thought that the lemon and parsley added a special touch to
it.
And let me say, it looks beautiful. When it came out of the pot and I had it on a platter, I mean, it just looks like a beautiful plate of shrimp.
So this recipe, thank you for this, is on our website with information about this book. That's foodschmooze.org, S-C-H like school, foodschmooze.org. You'll see the citrus shrimp recipe. And now I'm going to go to one. This is one we don't have on the site, but I couldn't resist. This is your grandmother Earlene's creamed corn.
Yum.
Listen to this ingredient list.
Favorite.
6 ears of fresh corn, a half a cup of whole milk, a couple tablespoons of salted butter, and a teaspoon of kosher salt.
It couldn't get much easier than that.
I know, Robin.
No,
so,
I guess
but what makes this so special?
The fresh corn definitely makes it special. But Grandmother Earlene's corn, and that was one of the dishes that my whole family always looked forward to her serving whenever we would go, especially in the summer. My grandfather had a huge garden, and corn was always a prevalent part of it. So she would freeze it, and we would have it all year long. But in the summer, when it was cut fresh off the ear, straight from Granddaddy's garden, was always delicious.
Mm.
But hers had a whole lot more cream and a whole lot more butter than this. And so when I tried to bring it down just a notch, I decided I would blend some of the fresh corn to get that same creaminess without adding so much cream and butter.
So you put it in the blender?
I put it in the blender just to get that same milky creaminess without all that cream and butter that she had put in hers. And I don't think she would mind. I think she would still love it.
Well, you remember the taste. And
yes,
so does it come close?
It does. It definitely does. And what I did is I was recreating these recipes. I would make sure that my whole family agreed that it tasted just as good as the original if I had reduced a lot of butter or cream or sugar or something like that from the recipe. So, you know, certain recipes would get a thumbs up or not. So this one definitely did.
This is Robin Stone, who is a blogger and also has done this cookbook called Add a Pinch. And the whole focus of this is easier, faster, fresher Southern classics. And so glad we talked to you about that. Your grandmother and you also do something that is vital, where after you scrape the corn kernels off the cob, you use the knife to scrape the cob itself again, and then
juice.
The milk, they call it, from the cob comes off into whatever dish you're doing that. And that juice in there is so filled with flavor. That's a secret thing.
Is. That is the flavor of the corn is there at the cob with that milk. So you hit the nail on the head with that.
Let's skip over to dessert because
you know,
if Southerners know anything, it is dessert, I have to say.
Oh, yeah.
This is Lulu Bell's lemon meringue pie. Lemon meringue pie. This is on our website, foodschmooze.org. Milk, sugar, cornstarch, salt, egg yolks. You save the whites for the meringue. A little bit of butter, fresh lemon juice, sour cream. A pie crust, you give the recipe for that. I suppose you could buy one if you don't want to make one. People do. And then you tell us how to make the mile-high meringue is what you call it. Doesn't that just sound good? Okay. So this is Aunt Lulu Bell's. Did you call her aunt or aunt?
I just called her Aunt Lulu Bell.
Yes. Okay, Aunt Lulu Bell. So go ahead. Tell me what made this special.
Oh, her pie, she was always in the kitchen too, but I remember going into her kitchen, especially at the beginning of the summer, she would have pies cooling on the counter and while she was whipping together the meringue. And I would try to sneak just a little taste of her lemon pie before she got the meringue on top, and she would always catch me. But this pie was always one that she would take to every family reunion or every church get-together. But I especially loved it when we knew that we didn't have to share the pie with a whole lot of people, that it was for our little group of the family. Yeah. So it was always just one of those most delicious pies. It's not so lemony, you know, that it makes your mouth pucker. It's the sour cream just kind of blends it out to where it's really, it's just a delectable lemon meringue pie.
I don't always have this reaction on the show. I love many, many things, and we basically feature what we love on this show. That's why you're not hearing us knocking people. But it's rare that as I'm, you know, describing and listening to the words inside a recipe, my mouth is actually watering as I'm looking at into a small bowl, whisk the egg yolks, hot milk, and then boil it, and then the filling, and then the butter and the lemon juice, and I'm reading this, and then the meringue on top, and my mouth is watering. So it's like, I can't wait. Somebody needs to make this. I'm a terrible baker.
I am too, but I'd give it a try. I think.
Would
just,
you?
Well, just you know what? Oh. If she would talk me through it on the phone, because I just love her voice.
I mean, this is Georgia. This is Georgia Aunt Lulabelle's lemon meringue pie from Georgia. We got to.
We got to make that.
Okay. Another thing is peach crisp. Now, another thing Georgians know how to do is raise peaches. Mm. They grow some peaches in Georgia, and you bet if they're doing a peach crisp, because they've got so many peaches that there's competition about this. You've got this is salted butter, peeled, sliced, fresh peaches. Oh, here goes my mouth again. Packed dark brown sugar, all-purpose flour, chopped pecans, kosher salt, and vanilla ice cream on top.
Oh, are you kidding me?
So I understand that your family devours this thing in the summer.
Yes, that we do. And it's one of those things, growing up, we would always have little farm stands from place to place where we would always watch for peaches to be in season, and I find myself doing the same thing. I'm like scoping out the certain places where I know that the fresh peaches will be the first of the season. So I'm already in that mode now, looking, trying to find the peaches. But yes, as soon as we find them, this is definitely on our menus just about every weekend that we can possibly have it. And it comes together so fast in the skillet, and I like to prep it ahead before we sit down to dinner and then just pop it in the oven as we're eating dinner. And then it comes out fresh, and you put the ice cream on and let it get a little bit melty. And if we're really close family, then it, just like it's photographed in the book, we'll just grab some spoons and dig in, and you know, everybody just has a great time that way.
Wow.
Or you can, you know, of course serve it up a little bit more traditionally and put it in bowls for people, but it is always a favorite.
You have a porch and a rocker there that rockers that
we're on our way.
Sit there,
we'll be there shortly.
A little screened in area for us. Yeah. I'm gonna do a show there.
That's
okay. So
it's
think,
not screened in, but it has the rest.
Okay, good. So think about this. You've got a skillet on the heat, and you melt that butter in that skillet, then you add those fresh peaches and the brown sugar, and you're stirring it up. And it starts to thicken that way into this light syrupy mixture. And you take it off, and then in that bowl, here you go, with more butter, more brown sugar, a little bit of flour, and the pecans, and the salt. Salt is so important against sweet. And then you spread that over the peaches in the pan, and you pop that whole skillet on a baking sheet in case it bubbles over, because it does. And then into the oven it goes about a half hour until it's brown and bubbly. And that's why Robin will pop it in, make it ahead, and then pop it in when the dinner begins, and it's ready by the end of the dinner. So great.
Oh, my.
This recipe is at our food site, foodschmooze.org, along with information about our book. And the book is Add a Pinch by Robin Stone, Easier, Faster, Fresher Southern Classics. Who were your testers in this final minute of the show? Family, friends, relatives?
Family, friends, relatives all joined in, and we all just had the best time testing the recipes. And like I said, all had to agree that it tasted just as good as what, you know, what we had all grown up with. My sister had to say, yes, that it tastes just like grandmother's cream corn before I could proceed. So
nice.
So wow. I
would like to volunteer to come down for the next book.
And for the tasting.
To being
exactly.
Be one of the taste testers.
Yeah.
I really
would. And we'll say things like, yes, this is what I imagine that a real Southern crisp would be.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
You can use other berries besides the peaches, by the way. You know, you could use all kinds of fruits that are in season.
Strawberries, blueberries, blackberries. And in the fall, it's delicious with apples and pears. I just add a little bit of cinnamon to it.
Robin, it's been so great talking with you and meeting thank you for what you do.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It has been a wonderful pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We are on WNPR Thursdays at 3 and Saturdays at noon. Weekdays, listen for my 60-second food schmoozes and never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton. Thanks for listening to the podcast on your schedule. And when you need a little party in your life, we're here and online all the time at foodschmooze.org. And of course, also on Facebook at Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. See you there.